Hashtag you don't have to be Jewish.
Gordon Hill Lewis is the DA Shadow Minister of Finance. Good morning. So here we are on lockdown level 4, stringent regulations. Of course, some of them required.
Yes.
There's no doubt that we need to do whatever we can to stop the spread of COVID-19, especially the Delta variant. But the implications on the and the impact on the economy is very, very frightening. Give us your thoughts.
Yes, Howard, one's heart really goes out to those businesses who have been told with absolutely no forward notice that they have to close immediately, that they have to restrict their business to only takeaways and deliveries, for example, in the in the restaurant trade. This is just devastating, and I think we talk of the kind of abstract concept of economic impact, but what we're really talking about is the impact on lives of families, on homes. Imagine being told that you will have no income for the next 2 weeks. Your expenses will stay the same, your bond, your rent, you're still going to pay for your kids and so on, but you will have no income. And that is really, really terrible and I believe quite unnecessary. I think it's over the top. We do have a serious situation, of course. But I do believe that most South Africans are responsible adults, can take decisions for themselves, and you don't need to and should never simply, by government edict, block people from earning an income. I think that's wrong.
Do you think that part of it is the message or the shifting of blame from government to the citizens of the country? In other words, maybe there's a message here that says, well, you didn't behave. Now look what I have to do. And I've got to lock you down. That implies that it is all our fault and not the fault of government.
Yes, that's absolutely right. And it's so enraging, isn't it? I mean, the fact is we were told in March 2020 that the purpose of lockdown was to prepare the health system to expand capacity, but that hasn't happened. Hospital capacity is basically exactly the same with a few marginal increases here and there as it was then, 15-16 months ago. So in absence of government basically being properly prepared and rolling out a proper fast vaccine program, we are now forced, or not forced, but they are essentially blaming the citizenry, and that is wrong.
What would you have recommended, if you were in that position, what would you have recommended that they do?
The first thing is to ramp up massively the vaccine program. We should be hitting 200, 250,000 people per day. And we should be doing that 7 days a week. At the moment, we're only vaccinating 5 days a week.
What is with that? I mean, the president says, we've got 100,000 a day. He wants 300,000, but we've only vaccinating 5 out of 7 days. That makes it virtually impossible.
Yeah. I mean, this excuse that there's no overtime budget available to pay staff for weekend clinics is just a lie. It's not true. As I've shown in the public, there is money available in the budget, in the national budget, to pay for vaccine clinics over the weekend. And we should be unlocking that money immediately and making sure that we run 7-day-a-week clinics. That should be an absolute no-brainer. And yes, on top of that, increasing the rate per day, to above 200,000. That would really help.
Yeah,
it wouldn't stop the third wave, but it would certainly stop any future waves.
Right.
In terms of the third wave, look, it's clear that it's probably reasonable to limit all public gatherings. But it's not reasonable to ever tell a business which supports so many families that you're not allowed to trade. I think that that's just wrong, and that is a reflection more of government's failure to prepare the health system than it is of anything else. So you could easily have told restaurants, to limit themselves to 50 or 60% capacity, but continue to trade, use all of their outside space first. Where restaurants don't have outside space, is there a way to talk to landlords to give them some outside space temporarily? There are lots of different ways that you can go about this. In terms of alcohol, yes, there is evidence to show that the ban on alcohol frees up a few beds in hospital. But really, at what cost to the people whom that industry supports? And so, I would say that you could have every police officer out on the roads. In your introduction, you spoke about the policing of real crime, wouldn't it be nice to have every police officer out on the roads every Friday and Saturday night catching drunk drivers rather than simply banning every bottle store? I think that that's a much more sensible solution that is fair to everyone in the industry and targets the abusers, not the law-abiding public. So we've got it totally the wrong way around.
And one message from a listener saying, excuse me, separate levels and rules for different provinces. Gauteng could have started earlier. And that's absolutely true. We've seen this very, very effectively done in Israel, where you have certain areas known to be or that are becoming problematic. Those areas are restricted. You could have had limited alcohol in Gauteng, but not in other areas. That way, keep the industries alive, surely.
Yes, well, you'll recall back to 2020 when the president actually did promise so-called differentiated approach.
But he also promised there'd be no looting.
We've never actually had a differentiated approach at all. We've only ever had a unitary national approach. But absolutely, you know, there are provinces who could have only done this in a few weeks' time. But as I say, my base argument is that most of these closures are not actually necessary and are very, very unfair to the thousands of people and families and businesses that they support in those industries. And once this, I don't think that government yet quite understands how devastating this is. And once the economic devastation has been wrought, how difficult it is to rebuild. Many, many of these businesses simply will not reopen because they are too deep in debt. People are losing houses. They've maxed out all of their credit cards. They've taken out what they can on their bond. And now they've got nowhere left to go. And once that is closed, it's not going to reopen.
Janine says, I'm not saying the government isn't at fault. They have done plenty wrong, but the majority of adults in South Africa have proven not to be responsible. Janine, I don't agree. I think there are adults who are not responsible. I do not believe that the majority of South Africans are irresponsible. I just don't. You know, we do see poor behavior, but is it the majority? I don't think so. I think we all want to live.
I totally agree with that, Howard. I'm with you on that. You know, I think that the huge majority of South Africans are actually responsible adults and know more or less what needs to be done and can be trusted to make responsible decisions for their family, and that you don't have to. What is not acceptable is to go and tell a whole nother subsection of families and adults and individuals, you are banned from earning an income because, of our perception of these other irresponsible people. I just don't think that is the right and correct trade-off at all.
And science says alcohol causes major industries not related only to drunk driving. Anyone who's worked as a doctor in government sector will understand this. Banning alcohol frees up hundreds of beds. I know we debated this. I spoke to a trauma surgeon when the first alcohol ban came into effect, and doctors do feel this, but it doesn't mean that there needs to be a total ban. I don't think it needs to be, I think there's measures. I mean, that would be my view. And what Anton is saying here, I agree with, that maybe look at different provinces at different times. So you keep an industry going. You still keep an industry alive. We don't just shut things down.
Right.
Don't just turn off a tap. People are living off certain industries. Don't just turn off and I guess they did try that to some extent with restaurants, saying that you can get takeaways, but not sit down meals. I don't know if that's conducive. I don't know if that is something that people really do at a time like this. I do believe that there are other ways. Do you have a view as to how we can get out of this? Because this economic impact is massive.
There is only one way out of this, Howard, and that is the vaccination program. We have to vaccinate 40 million South Africans as quickly as we humanly possibly can. And every delay is unacceptable and is measured in lost lives to this terrible disease and is measured in further economic harm and lost livelihoods. So we've just got to focus on this one thing, vaccinate as fast as we can, sort out all of the issues, find the money, make it work 7 days a week, 12 hours a day, relentlessly until we hit our targets. And there should be no other national focus right now. So, you know, forgive me if I get a little bit angry with the president when he celebrates us reaching 100,000, when that is far, far below what many poorer countries than us are doing. And we are only doing that 3/4 of the week. It's not acceptable.
Absolutely not. Jordan Hill, a Lewis politician, DA Shadow Minister of Finance, giving us his view of the lockdown.